This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hello to the most wonderful people in the world. And I do mean that. I really don't just say it. I really mean you are the most wonderful people in the world. God's precious, wonderful, beloved people. And to Jesus, to Him, only to Him, belongs all the glory and the honor and the praise. I am really so thrilled about the teaching today. You know, I taught Monday and Tuesday on how to find God's will. And yesterday about really how to inherit your possession that God has promised us. Today, I want to talk about something that I think will really help you and protect you. And that is how to be influenced by the right people. So I'm calling it transfer of spirits, but you know, sometimes people don't really understand what I mean by that. Well, the transfer of spirits means who you allow to influence your life. Because influence is very powerful, very powerful. And so we're going to talk about that and see what the Bible has to say about it and how to be safe, how to allow the right people to influence our lives. Wonderful Lord, I come to you. And Lord, I pray that you will bless your people today in a beautiful way. So Lord, we all come in your wonderful, precious, holy name, Jesus. And Lord, we pray today for clarity in your word, just your power, your anointing, that your word will go deep in us and bring results in our lives and through our lives for your glory and honor. Protect your sweet people, Lord, I pray, in this very dangerous hour in the world. I give you the praise. And God's people said, amen and amen. And we are living in a dangerous hour. I mean, this hour, and by the way, I'm going to wait till you all come on, so thank you for joining me. This hour we are living in is an hour of great confusion, and there's a lot of deception and danger. So that's why I'm talking to you about this very important subject, how to be influenced by the right voices. So let's just begin on this teaching. There are three spirits in the world. Three. There is God's spirit, there's the evil spirit, and there's man's spirit. All at work in this world. And it depends on who we submit ourselves to that will speak into our lives and could control us. So we all want God, of course, the Holy Spirit, to be the main influence and the only influence in our lives. So let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to show you what the Bible has to say. So let's begin with verse 11. That's 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 11. Again, thank you for joining me today. You become my family. We've grown together and been together now for a long time, most of us. For what man knoweth, I'm reading verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So here's the first spirit mentioned, the spirit of man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So here we see the spirit of God mentioned. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So here the three spirits are mentioned. The spirit of man, spirit of God, spirit of the world in verse 12. So how do I get influenced by the spirit of God? Let's talk about that first. Let's go to Hosea. In the Old Testament, Hosea, and we're going to read chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 9 to begin with. And there shall be, that's Hosea 4:9, And there shall be like people like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Very important. And there shall be like people like priests. It depends on who we choose to speak the word of God to us. The only way that the Holy Spirit can influence our lives is when we have the right leaders, the right people talking into our lives, speaking into our lives. So how do we know who is a man of God? And how do we know who is a man of the world? And how do we know who is a man that is led by Satan? They may say the right things, but how do we know? That's the things we have to look at today. But let's focus first on how to know a man or a woman that is anointed by the Holy Spirit and a pure vessel that you and I can listen to, receive from. Today, there's a lot of voices on YouTube, on social media. You can find a lot of different preachers from the past and the present on YouTube and on other platforms that minister the word. I was deeply blessed not long ago by some of the old messages of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a mighty man of God from England. And you can find him and others like Tozer was another amazing man of God. Then you have, Catherine Kuhlman and Corey and others and Oral Roberts and the greats of the 70s and the 80s. And, you can be greatly blessed by listening to these amazing voices that God used in the past to bless millions. But now, Numbers 11 gives us an amazing key we have to look for. So when you look at Numbers 11, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Now there are some things here that people miss. God wanted to give the anointing to the 70 who were to stand by Moses and influence the whole nation, because Moses could not do it by himself. So when Jethro came earlier and said, listen, you can't do this alone, Moses decided to choose 70 elders, men. And now God says, okay, bring those 70 men whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them. That's longevity. I would never trust a voice that hasn't had longevity, that hasn't had years behind them. So God says, listen, before I release the anointing on these men, you make sure, you Moses, you make sure you know them. So the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Know them that labor among you. Never choose someone you don't know. Never listen to someone you don't know. And number two, not only that you should know their ministry, but how about longevity? How long have they been in it? So God says, whom thou knowest to be elders. Whom thou knowest to be elders means they've been doing that job for a long time. Because it takes time to know people. It takes time to know their effectiveness over the people, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them. So don't choose a novice. Don't choose someone who's been there a short time. So these are people that have longevity, credibility. They've been there. They've proven themselves over time to be elders and officers. And then he said, bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, so that you will not bear it by yourself, that thou bearest not thyself alone. So God says, okay, I will release the anointing, but you need to know them, find them, choose them, and test their longevity. Don't bring me anybody who hasn't proven himself to you. To you, Moses. Now, amazingly, that God didn't say, well, bring him and him and him and him. No, God said, no, you, Moses, you go find them. You go choose them. Make sure they've had longevity and credibility. Then bring them to me. So it's our job as the church to do exactly what Moses had to do. Find them. Look for them. Look at their past history. Look at the results of their ministries. Don't just listen to anyone who says, well, I'm anointed or I'm gifted. Gifts don't mean a whole lot. Because gifted people can destroy you too, just like Balaam. You know, remember him? And others like him. So, no. You have to make sure they are known. Know them. Know them that labor among you. I don't really trust people who have been in ministry for only, forgive me for being blunt, for under 5 years. Or some of them, you know, say, well, I've been there under 10 years and so on, but they haven't proven themselves, even though they may have been in it for, you know, 5 to 10 years or even more. What kind of results have they had in ministry? What kind of results have they had? Has the anointing been sustained? Is the word of God really in their heart and life? Are they teaching the Bible or are they teaching other things? So it's your job and my job to ask for wisdom. So today, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't really find a whole lot of them out there. There's very, very few. But I have to go back to listen to the Catherines, Kuhlman, and the Derek Prince's and, you know, Charles Spurgeon's and Dowie and Tozier and others. So, because these people had longevity. Now, okay, Dowie maybe finished wrong. But when he started, he was right. So I go back and listen to the years when he was right. And others like him, or I read things he wrote when he was right. And I ignore the later parts of his life when, you know, he believed things I don't want to believe. My mom used to always say, you know, eat the fish and throw the bones. So even people who did right and stayed right, they said some stuff I don't really want to listen to. So we also have to choose, what is it that I need? What is it I'm looking for? What are the things that will benefit my life? But these people affected the world, all of them. All of them. In a very, very powerful way. All right, now. Imported help is dangerous. Imported help is dangerous. Because that will always bring failure. And what I mean by imported help is sometimes, you know, we listen to people who were brought in quickly into ministry, or someone brought them in quickly into ministry. They weren't people that they raised. So God Almighty will never really usually you know, use someone in a big way if they're in important help. They have to grow. So when you go to a church, when you go to someone's church, I think it's important to examine those churches. Find the vision. Find if they all have the same vision. Because a church with divided visions will not grow and will actually collapse at the end. So if you really want to have solid material, solid teaching, and solid word in a church and through a church, look at the pastor and look at the staff. Do they all have the same vision? See, now these people here, these men in Numbers that Moses chose, had only one vision. They had the same vision. So it's very important to look for, do they all have the same vision? That's extremely important, because only if there's one vision, there'll be growth and they'll accomplish what God wants to do, not only in them, but through them, to touch people like you and I. So as the spirit of faith, now that's one other thing that we have to look for. The spirit of faith, when someone has the spirit of faith, we follow that person. Let's talk about that. As the spirit of faith rested on only a few in Israel, because remember when Moses sent the spies, the 12 spies, 10 of them came back without the spirit of faith. They came back with unbelief. Only two of them had the spirit of faith. Well, when the spirit of faith rests only on a few, then there will be no blessings. So God had to wait for a brand new generation to show up so they can all have the same spirit of faith. So it kind of ties in with one vision, also one spirit of faith. I would not listen to a person who did not have a team with him that had the same vision and same spirit of faith, because that gives a lot of strength, a lot of credibility, you know. So has the team been there a long time? Have they stood with that man a long time? And so on. So in Numbers 13, we all know the story, when beginning at verse 26, when Moses sent the spies, they go into the promised land, and then something goes wrong when they came back. So they come back in verse 26, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And yeah, they said, you know, it's a great land, flows with milk and honey. Nevertheless, in verse 28, but the people are strong. They have big walls, and they're big people. They're giants, and the Amalekites dwell there, and so on and so forth. And the Bible says they brought a spirit of fear, because when they said, we're not able to overcome them. Now you got Caleb and Joshua, the only ones with the right spirit. But it brought tremendous harm to a whole generation that had to die in the wilderness as a result of no vision, no united vision, and no united faith. They all perished in the wilderness. So now God has to wait for a brand new generation to come 40 years later. And in them was the right spirit. And so do you remember? Look at the two reports. In Numbers, no, we can't do it. There's giants over there. We're going to all die. That was the wrong vision, the wrong oneness of faith and vision. And the whole nation perished, or that generation perished. But look what happens in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 24, we see this new crowd, these young people who said, they said to Joshua, verse 24, truly the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, and all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Isn't that amazing? There's a new generation that said, no, we are all united with one vision, one faith, and we will possess the land. So you will not see results in your life if you go to a church or have a part in a group that's divided, whose vision is divided, everybody's attacking each other, whose faith is divided. We cannot hear the Holy Spirit's voice through a divided vision or a divided faith. We only hear his voice through a united vision, united faith. And sometimes the only places you can find that is small churches, to be honest with you. I went to a church in Canada that was massive when I got saved. At first, everything was fine. Then there was division over a doctrine that they used to call mashed potatoes, submission, really, basically, how you have to submit to each other and all that. And they went way out. It destroyed that church within like 2-3 years. That thousands of people were scattered. 3,000 strong went down to 100 people who were not all stable mentally after a while. They lost it. They began to prophesy about what breakfast to eat before they even ate, or what job to have, or who to marry and not marry. It became pure bondage, pure witchcraft. So I went to a small Free Methodist church with only maybe 50 people, I think it was. Weldon Johnson was the pastor. And I found a united vision with a small church, united faith. And God used those people to launch me in my early days. I began preaching in Canada with their help. So that is, if you want God to use you, I'm telling you, listen to me. Okay? Now, you have to follow, let me look at something else with you. You have to follow people who have received the Holy Spirit into their life, and there's evidence. Like in Numbers, for example, chapter 27, we read about Moses laying hands on Joshua in verse 18 through 20. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. But Israel did not see that because it was done private. But they recognized it in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, where now the whole nation sees how Joshua is full of wisdom. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. They saw something he did that really touched their heart. He made the right decisions. That's the spirit of wisdom. And the spirit of wisdom is easy to pick out. Like Solomon, you know, when he became the king, and how he judged and said, okay, let's divide the baby. They all knew God gave him, only God can give that. So watch what comes out of that person's mouth before you ever submit to them. And that's how you'll see if God is in that life. And if their word is life-changing, life-changing. For Moses had laid hands upon him, his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened to him. They heard him, they obeyed him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Wow, isn't that powerful? So here we see all of Israel submitting to Joshua because they saw wisdom in him. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, tells the church in Rome. He said, I long, this is verse 11, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. Here's again, oneness of faith, both of you and me. He said, because of our unity together, I'll be able to pour into you. You can't receive from someone who you're not united with in spirit. Paul could not have ministered to the church in Rome had they not been united with him in spirit. He said that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. We have the same faith. We agree on what the word teaches. We're not divided when it comes to doctrine. There is no way you can receive from someone who's of the wrong stream you are. Please listen to what I'm saying to you. The wrong stream, you know. Find your stream and you'll find the blessings of God. Like, do they believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Do they believe in what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit and His power and presence? So you make sure now that you do exactly what the Bible says before you allow them to touch your life. I have a family member who went to a very ultra conservative school. They ruined him. They ruined him. He became very anti-Holy Spirit, very anti the miraculous, very anti the healing ministry. It was sad to watch because he went to some place that polluted his mind to say, well, the gifts are for the early church, not for today. The gift of tongues is for the early church, not. And they messed his mind. But they were really ultra, okay? They went really way out. Because some of them that believe the gifts are not for today, at least they agree on a lot of what we believe in. But these people who worship doctrine more than they worship Jesus, that's very, very, very dangerous. Because it's legalism. And sadly, there's a lot of people out there bound to legalistic teachings. There's no mercy, there's no grace, there's no love, there's no compassion, there's no nothing. It's like they worship doctrine. And they attack anyone who doesn't believe like they believe. So I'm going to continue tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about. Because I'm gonna talk tomorrow about the demon spirit. There's a lot in the Bible about the demon spirit in the world and in the church that people need to recognize, truly recognize. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And then I wanna deal with, maybe all tomorrow, on the spirit of man, how to not allow that to affect us. Like, what do I look for where I won't let the spirit of man pollute my life? I want only the Spirit of God. And I just gave you, I'll give you just a little bit more tomorrow, and then we'll continue. You know, and I'm hoping and praying you'll join me. So just remember what I said today. If you forgot some, just rewind and listen to it again. So we need to be protected in this day. And you know what happens? It's like, you know, Hosea 4:9. Like people, like priests. The person you listen to is going to affect your life. You're going to become like them. The Bible has a lot to say about this. And I want to share a little more with you about what happened with me when I began listening to Catherine Kuhlman and the influence she had on my life. Just listening to her radio programs. I never met Ms. Kuhlman. I went to many of her meetings. And I became very involved in her foundation in her ministry after she went to heaven for about 4 years. I learned more about Ms. Kuhlman from her staff than I did had I met her. But to this day, her teachings still affect me. I still remember things she said that I still believe and follow. And I was a young, you know, Christian. And I wasn't as acquainted with the word back then. So this is important. That we only allow the people that have what I just showed you to affect our life. Lord, in Jesus' name, protect them. And Lord, show them clearly how to find the right influence. Bless them mightily in Jesus' name. And protect them from the wrong voices. Amen and amen. All right. Tomorrow I'll be dealing with the spirit of the evil one, the world, you know. So, very intriguing. All right, now, it's time to give to the Lord's work. Give, it shall be given unto you is a command. Give, it shall be given unto you. Not only the promise, but the command, give, it shall be given unto you. And Jesus promised abundance. He didn't promise lack when he said, shall man give into your bosom, you know, give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, you know, running over. That's abundance. And the Bible never once promises small amounts, that God will give you small, you know, small amounts. Look at every orange or every apple, look at fruits and vegetables and see how much seed in just one orange or one apple or even a grape. So with one orange, you can have a whole farm of oranges, you know, and orange trees, because there's a lot of power in that seed. So it multiplies. And as you give your money, God will multiply that seed and give you more seed to keep sowing, and you'll reap more as you sow more. So it's time now to increase your level of faith and sow. Go to a higher level of sowing to protect your future. Lord, in Jesus' name, speak to them and bless them. Magnify yourself through them. I pray there'll be abundance in their life for the rest of their life as they obey your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can sow your seed to Benny Hinn Ministries. Just go on the platform you're watching me on, or go to our website, BennyHinn.org, or simply text on your phone, BHM45777, or become a partner too and give regularly, monthly, so God can truly increase you and bless you. All right, I'll see you tomorrow for the teaching. Be quite powerful.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.